Hello, and welcome to another episode of EQCast. I'm your host, Christy Pritchard. Thanks so much for joining us on this unconventional sideshow of healing and self-betterment. This is where you can find unscripted conversations with authentic humans sharing the trials and triumphs around their emotional wellness journey. We keep it light, but we can get dark, so fasten your seatbelts. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. It's Christy here. I am by myself today. Decided to do a little solo episode. I've tried to do this a couple times before, and one time the sound didn't work, and the other couple times I just wasn't feeling it. So here is attempt number 3. Who knows? Maybe more. Anyhow, I just thought I'd come on and just talk a little bit about myself for once and about why I'm doing this podcast and where I came from and what my experience is in the emotional health arena, if that's what we shall call it today, and just get into a little bit more about my process and my life and my upbringing and how I got started into emotional wellness. I guess I'll use the same format that I do with my guests and just kind of roll out from early childhood briefly into adult healing and kind of go from there. Probably won't be very long because I don't really know how to talk into a mic when I'm by myself, but here goes absolutely something. I was born from two beautiful parents. Well, one which I knew really well, the other I did not. I was born to my lovely mother, Martha, and my dad, who I actually don't know. He left when I was about 4 years old to go on his own adventures. All I know about him really is that he loved VW vans and motorcycles. And as soon as my mom remarried to my stepfather, he left the scene. And that kind of brings me to the next stage of my family, which would be my stepfather and my two wonderful step-siblings. And they have been such a lovely force in my life for the most part, without our faults. Obviously, we all have our issues with the people we grew up with. And that's something that, you know, we realize with time that all families have their quirks and their idiosyncrasies. And that is just a bleeping fine. But I did have a pretty decent childhood up until a rather catastrophic event around 10 years old when my stepdad was accused of molestation. So that really triggered the whole family into a different zone. And I've spent most of my life not talking about this to anyone because I felt ashamed about it, and also it just kind of seemed like it was our own family deal up until recently, when it's come to light that he actually didn't do it. So now I feel a little bit more open talking about it. Doesn't mean to say that that didn't scar our family. And I also know that after that point in time, I went down a pretty slippery slope of starting to use drugs really early. I think I was around 11 and drinking pretty heavily all throughout my teen years. And my mom, that was a whole other spiral of despair that I'll slowly roll into here. She was a drug and alcohol counselor and a social worker, and she helped a lot of people. She was the go-to lady for anyone in need and anyone who needed an ear or support. She was very soft and lovely and kind always, and funny and beautiful and radiant up until alcohol really took its clutches into her. So I watched her demise slowly, and I went down the barrel with her, and we both just kind of went in this spiral together for several years. And I managed somehow to kind of come out of it here and there. We moved to California in 92 or 93, and her and I, just the two of us, stepbrother and stepsister, they went off and they were adults at that point, so they were doing their own thing. But Mumsies and I, we took off to the south and created this crazy world for ourselves and met these amazing, totally out of this world people, and had these connections that are unbreakable to this very day. I have very close friends that I'm tight with down there in Los Angeles in Topanga Canyon that I just absolutely fell in love with, and I was so grateful for them and still am so grateful for them. They really changed the course of our life for the better for a while, but I kind of started partying a little bit too much. Throw a teenage girl with a bunch of angst and a bunch of garbage under her hood and not sure how to deal with it. I got into the rave scene pretty heavily and dropped out of school and partied and numbed and did all the things any normal teenager would do under those circumstances, being completely oblivious, of course. And because of all of that, I had actually asked my mom if we could move home because I thought that I might not make it very much longer if we stayed in California. So my mom was pretty impressed with me. I actually remember her saying, "I've never been more proud of you for knowing my limit." And so we came back to Canada. And I went back to high school. I decided to quit partying. I decided to quit everything and really put myself as an adult. And I was 19, I think, when I went back to high school. And I was like, no, I gotta do this right. She asked me if I wanted to do the GED. And I said, f that, I'm gonna go back. I have no shame. I had lots of shame, but I did it anyways. And I went back to high school with some people that I had already kind of known way back in the day before I had moved. And so we got to reconnect. And I got in with my beautiful, lovely friends who are still a huge, huge part of my life. So I'm really glad I went and did it. And my best friend and I from high school after that moved to Victoria, got into quite a bit of mischief, but we had a lot of fun, just as any 20-something year olds would do. And then I decided to finally go to university, numbing everything the entire way though. No self-awareness, no understanding of how my past has affected who I am today, and diving into relationship after relationship and having them all catastrophically annihilate into a very glorious fashion, and always being jealous and insecure and not trusting men. And it really took me a long time to kind of look at that and be like, oh, why don't you trust men? Oh, wow. Oh, maybe it's because the only men you've ever known and trusted and are born to know and trust have completely disappointed you inadvertently. So, you know, it was just a lot of failed relationships and a lot of failures and a lot of learning, but more numbing, to be honest, if I'm going to be frank. And I finished Simon Fraser University in 2008 and had a relationship at the time, and we're still good friends to this day, but had I only been more aware of what I brought to the table at the time, it would have made a lot more sense as to why a relationship went up in flames like it did. So, and from that, I dove into another horrific relationship that also went up into flames. No shock there. I was with somebody who was matched up with me as far as all of the numbing was concerned, but with both of us numbing and friction there and a lot of lack of, self-awareness on our parts. But we stuck it through for 7 years. Each of those men I spent 7 years with, and I had a couple weeks in between, I think, maybe a month in between them, because I was incapable of being alone entirely. I had no idea what that looked like, nor did I ever want to know. I just thought in order to feel love, I had to be loved by somebody else. And fast forward to 2016, and I get a phone call from my uncle saying that my mom was in the hospital, and she had kept up a pretty strong front with her drinking and her pill addiction throughout my entire life, but it really hit hard after the 90s and continued on. As much as she was helping others, she was really doing a lot of damage to herself and taking on all of their pain and not transmuting it and just absorbing it and just numbing it out in her own way. But I'll be forever grateful, and I'm sure all the people that are listening to this who know my mom are also extremely grateful for all the help that she did give, and she was just a big light for so many. But shortly after, about 3 months after that phone call, she slipped away from us. And throughout that time, I didn't even mention the most important man that came into our life. Sorry, I didn't plan this out very well. I've just been kind of rambling and hoping that it'll make some sense and hoping that I could get this out without choking up too much. But this dear, sweet man, Jim Varney, he came into our lives in around 2001 or 2002. And my mom and him were together for quite some time. He actually reinstated my trust in men and allowed me to open up to a father figure for the first time in my life at 18 years old as a full-fledged adult, with not really having that prior, aside from my brother. of course, and my brother, ex-brother-in-law too. They both also were pretty good male role models. But other than that, Papa came along and shifted my perspective and really lit me up. And he was just a great father figure, and he didn't have kids of his own either. So we were just two peas in a pod, the two of us, Papa and I. He was a motorcycle enthusiast as well and an artist and just a very all-around cool man from New York. And we melded really well together. But him and my mom obviously had their own issues and they went their own separate ways, but remained very good friends. In fact, best friends, mostly on their own behalf, but also a huge part of it was so that we could all spend Christmases together when I would come home and keep some kind of normalcy and solidarity in my little twisted life. So that was really kind of them to make the extra effort. But shortly after my mom passed away, my dad, my papa, I call him, he was absolutely devastated and he fell ill shortly after and he had a brain tumor about 6 months after my mom died. And he had a few months with us until he slowly slipped away as well. So I'd lost the two most important people to me and in that 11 and a half months in total, and a dear best friend in between. So much loss in such a short period of time. So I took about a year after that just to myself. I didn't work, I didn't do much, I traveled a lot, I sat with a lot of grief, choked it back mostly, I surfed it away, I camped it away, I traveled it away. I didn't really sit with it at that point. I just kind of let it happen and let my life continue, but in a slightly darker tone. I wasn't quite my true self at that point. But all that grief just really showed me a lot. It really took me to a new understanding about life and about how to heal. And I started diving into more books, and which I'd always kind of done, but I really took it to the next level and started getting into some meditation and dove into different modalities. I started exercising. I started taking care of myself. I started wanting to just learn and absorb and get into a new mindset. And acceptance was a huge part of that. And gratitude was a huge part of that. And therapy has always been a part of my life too. Ever since I was little, I had to go to therapy because of my mom and because of what happened to us. So I kind of took that a little bit more seriously. And ever since, I have just been slowly ascending into a different being, a different person. And I lived alone for a couple of years and it was great. I needed that. I needed to have a space that I could finally just call my own for once and to grow into who I am as a person, which it took a lot of facing some pretty gnarly that I didn't want to face, if I'm totally honest. So I did that and got through onto a different platform. I wouldn't quite say it was onto the other side or anything. I'm in mid-platform, you know, as we all kind of are. I don't think there's any end point to any of this. But I continued to trudge through the muck and the stuff. And in mid-trudging, I met another glorious human, but after I had spent some time alone. So I was pretty grateful that I got my alone time before meeting him, but little did he know what he was waltzing into. Still a hot mess, still a lot of issues to work through, still a lot of trauma, but he was lovely and patient, and I was as honest as I could have been at the time of my circumstances. But eventually all of my crap kind of came to the surface as well, as it does, and so did his, because we all have our shit. And we worked through that as much as we could together. And we got a beautiful house, and COVID hit, and all kinds of chaos hit, and so much shit hit the mother effing fan, and just life and stuff. And so I came into my own little space again and have been working really diligently on how to heal properly, on how to heal more fully, and how to love myself and how to accept my past wounds and how to accept everything that has happened in my life and in fact be grateful for it and allow it to propel me to grow to something different and work towards something different. And I moved out into my little place by myself, noticing all these patterns and really having to face some ugly truths. And I sat with that for at least a week. There was not much movement from bed to couch to couch to bed. It was the middle of winter. I decided to not drink for a while too, which was very beneficial. And, but it was also extremely confronting at the same time. But the more I sat with it, the more I got to push through it and work through it, and the more I learned. And then I decided to start this podcast. Randomly enough, I bought the mic a long time ago, but I was in absolutely no space to talk on a forum. I don't even think I knew what I would want to talk about. I just knew I had something to share, and I knew I was kind of speaking through my mom because she had such a way with words and with people, and I know she carried that down to me. So I thought, why the F not? I'm going to give this a shot. So I plugged in my mic one day and I did the solo episode that I was actually very happy with, and I felt really good about it. I wasn't nearly as choked up as I am right now. Everything was a lot more funny, and I was just really stoked. And then I went to go listen to it. There was no sound. So that was funny. I was like, oh geez, I'm not meant to do this. And I kept getting this little voice inside of me, and I was like, keep pushing through, keep doing it. Maybe it's not your time to tell your story right now. Maybe it's time to listen to others, which is something else I've been learning how to do a lot more proficiently. So learning to listen is a very key factor, and doing this podcast has actually taught me a lot about how to just shut the F up and listen to other people and let them share their story. But when you're on a podcast, you're all amped up. It was challenging at first. So yeah, and that's how EQCast was born. And here I am sitting on this log at the beach, looking at the beautiful ocean and talking into a phone and reflecting on what got me from point A to point B to point C. And we'll see where all the rest of the points lead. And I just been asked a lot of why I started this podcast. So I thought I would do a little hey yo and just let you guys know that this is my life. This is where I came from. A lot more to it than that. Everything in between. A lot more trauma and drama that I won't dive too deeply into. All you guys really need are the bullet points. And I think things will come out naturally over time. I mostly want this podcast, though, to have other people have a platform to share, because I really believe that sharing allows space for healing. Once we get it out, it allows new space to come in. We're getting it out. New shit gets to come in. So I'm hoping that for this podcast. I'm also hoping whoever's listening can resonate with what we're talking about and the topics, and have some resonance with that, and know that there's lights at the end of the tunnel, multitudes of lights. There are so many lights at the end of the tunnel. Keep shedding the skin, keep getting through all the bullshit, because eventually through all the crap, through all the stuff, through all the learning, there are new connections. There's new awareness. There's so many modalities out there to help us. There's just a lot that this world has to offer to get us through. And I truly believe that we are here to have these lessons, to have all this chaos in our lives so that we can create inner peace, so that we can create a stability within ourselves that can't be shook, whichever one it is. I believe that to the depths of my soul, and I just know that we're here for more than just goofing off and being silly, and that's a huge part of it too. I do a shit ton of that. I also say the word a lot. I'm probably gonna bleep all this out. It'll sound great. But that's a huge part of healing too, is to enjoy yourself and to just really not let life be so strict and stringent and stressful, and to play and to laugh and to be ridiculous. And that's probably all I have to say for today. Just watching my dog hump a log on the beach, and that's quite entertaining. But don't expect this podcast to be structured or to give clinical advice, because you ain't gonna find that here. This is gonna be a lot of brass, a lot of sass, a lot of darkness, but a whole pile of light. That is the point. So thank you so much for listening. I am really grateful to have this platform and this opportunity to share and to connect with other people who are on a similar little journey and just want to better themselves and feel better every day and do better every day. That's it. Signing out. Love you guys. Bye. Hey guys, me again. Thanks so much for listening to my very first solo episode. I really appreciate your support. It was a vulnerable share. It was super hard to do. So grateful for you guys for sticking it through the end if you did. And if you're enjoying EQcast and its content, please feel free to like, comment, subscribe, whatever you can, or do downloads on Spotify and leave reviews on Google and Apple Podcasts. Really helps a sister out. Be super grateful for that. And if you want to find me on social media, just EQcast, pretty easy to find. And hopefully I will see you guys in the next episode. Thanks.